Welcome to Ride, the Urban Mobility Podcast.
Welcome to Ride, the Urban Mobility Podcast, hosted by me, Martin Carl of Thebetic,
and me, Johnny Combe of Payback Phone. Ride, the Urban Mobility Podcast, takes a look at the impact of new business models and new technologies on urban mobility from a global business perspective and explores how each new solution fits into the wider mobility ecosystem.
The format of Ride is simple. We invite top industry experts to join us for an open and candid conversation. Ride is about the guests, what they have to say and what they bring to the discussion.
You can find more details about shows and guests on our website, www.ridemobilitypodcast.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Ride, the Urban Mobility Podcast. When Johnny and I first came up with this podcast, one of the topics at the top of the list was the 15-minute city. So I'm delighted that we're recording with Professor Carlos Moreno of the Pantheon Sorbonne in Paris, the man credited with conceiving the 15-minute city. Until just a few years ago, the 15-minute city was a compelling urban planning theory around which new and future mobility solutions would be developed. It was really only known about by mobility nerds. The idea of the 15-minute city is ambitious yet simple. Citizens and communities should have everything they need in daily life, such as work, recreation, shops, public services, within a 15-minute walk or bicycle ride from home or from any point in the city. But in the last couple of years, the 15-minute city has gone on to become mainstream news, a highly controversial issue which has divided communities, with views often unsurprisingly matching political affiliation. And it's attracted the ire of conspiracy theorists and tabloid media in particular. But it's a concept that's widely misunderstood by the public and by urban planners alike, and it's frequently bundled into or confused with often unpopular or poorly conceived traffic and transport policies. As a result, the term 15-minute city has become a synonym for the war on motorists. This interview has been rescheduled a couple of times, and my interest in speaking to Professor Moreno has changed over that period, from initially wanting to find out more about the concept to also wanting to ask him why he thinks it's so controversial and to give him the opportunity to present his side of the story. Remember, you can subscribe to Ride wherever you get your podcasts, and feel free to share it, like it, give it a rating, sign up to the Ride LinkedIn page, and check out our website for episode notes and links, and the Ride podcast blog, all at ridemobilitypodcast.com. Welcome, Professor Carlos Moreno, to Ride, the Urban Mobility Podcast. Just to give our listeners a sense of where you are geographically, where are you sitting right now as we speak?
I am now in Paris. I'm living in Paris for 44 years.
You're regarded as the person who conceived the 15-minute city concept. Let's go right back to the beginning. Tell us about that concept and how it took a professor in Paris to come up with that.
The 15-minute city concept is a long research journey. I have started my research on this topic, the happy proximity, in 2010, 13 years ago. I am a mathematician and computer scientist. I'm not an urbanist or architect. My specialty is in reality the complex system for developing for a long time as a pioneer, the smart cities. And I was convinced in 2010 that this was a wrong way for transforming our cities, given that the challenges, in particular in cities with the climate change. I have started another way in 2010 for developing this concept, the happy proximity, for facing the climate change, the poverty, the social tensions for living differently in our cities.
What are the key components of a 15-minute city?
The 15-minute city in reality has a twin concept, the 30-minute territory. Both concepts have the same key components. The first one, more ecology for reducing our CO2 footprints. The 15-minute city is an idea for the compact, for high-density zones. The 30-minute territory for the medium and low-density zones. In both cases, we need to reduce our CO2 footprint, in particular, to break the car dependency and to transform our daily mobilities. The second key element is the multi-services for having in a proximity lot of different medical services, cultural activities, education, employment, public spaces, and the good conditions for living. The third element is a massive social mixity. We need to transform the segregative cities with the corporate districts, wealth districts, poor districts. We want to provoke transformation based on this social mixity. And the fourth last point is the citizen commitment. We want to foster people for taking part in the transformation of cities, for having a more livable streets, more livable neighborhood, and to develop this new urban public policy, for example, with the budget, participatory budget, and others. These are the key components of the 50-minute city and the 30-minute territory. Just for putting in a nutshell, a polycentric city with a functional and social mixity for improving the quality of life with a more relevant citizen participation commitment.
How do you take a blueprint such as this and apply it to some of the cities of the world that are that have either grown up through urban spread, where two or more regions have grown together to create that city, or very, very old cities which have ancient infrastructure, narrow streets, and so how do you take this idealistic concept and apply it to very different cities?
The 50-minute city concept, 30-minute territory, this polycentric happy proximity are concepts built not only in a theoretical and idealistic way. Given that I am a researcher at Sorbonne University with my team, but at the same time, we have the chance for experiencing our concept in different places, in different locations, in Paris, in France, and around the world. And at the same time, to deploy the different initiatives with the mayors for evoking how could we transform our cities in the concrete reality. I want to say that, the first step with my team was to propose this new theoretical model based on these key components and to redesign the concept of the human city. My friend Jan Gehl, the Danish urbanist, said, this city is for people. And we want to propose to change concretely the daily life in cities for having a new rhythm, for breaking with the longer distances, for, this is the name, the scientific name, chrono-urbanismo. We wanted to propose the massive uses, the multi-purpose functions of buildings to break with the single uses of buildings. And the first point, we want to revitalize the local economy, the local activities, the local employment to promote more short circuits, raw local materials, and to develop this local economy with more social interactions, and of course to reduce our CO2 footprint by in ecology of proximity. At the same time, I think that this is one of the strategic points of our concept. This implementation is in reality the same regardless of the size of the density of urban or territories. In this way, I have the chance for implementing in the city of Paris between 2016 until 2018 in three different districts in the northeast of Paris with the agreement of the mayor Anne Hidalgo, for experiencing for the first time our capability for transforming the daily life based on these three points: to change the rhythm of the cities, to develop the multipurpose functions, and to revitalize the neighborhoods. In 2019, the mayor of Paris has embraced this concept as the backbone of her electoral campaign for the elections in 2020, the municipal elections. And at the beginning of 2020, we have this planetary COVID-19 in Europe, in France. We should live with the lockdown. And the most of the epicenter of the COVID-19 in Europe, the city of Milan, the mayor Giuseppe Sala has embraced this concept as well during the COVID at the beginning, for reimagining how could transform our cities with this proximity, because this is one of the constraints of the COVID-19. And at the same time, the COVID-19 was this evidence that we could to work on this with the remote jobs, with the Zoom, with the different digital technologies. Just for finishing with this period, the C40 cities, the global network of big metropolis for fighting against climate change, has adopted this concept in July 2020 as the backbone of the new urban policy for the next decade, based on these four elements: proximity, density, mixity, and citizen participation. After that, we have around the world a lot of different mayors interested in to develop this concept, to adopt it, and to deploy. And a few months after, the United Cities and Local Governments Global Network, with a lot of middle and small cities, has adopted as well this concept. In this case, we have a lot of different middle and including small cities committed for implementing this way. In 2022, the UN Habitat, United Nations Habitat, the branch of the United Nations in charge of cities, has adopted as well this concept. We have received the Scroll of Honor, the award, given that in 2022, this concept has become in reality a global movement with the same framework and with the different implementations. A lot of different nicknames have emerged around the world. The 10-minute city in Brussels, the 20-minute neighborhood in Melbourne, the 20-minute territory in Scotland, the vital district in Bogota, the complete neighborhood in Quebec. We have a lot of different nicknames, the 15-minute circles for living in communities in China. We have a lot of different nicknames, but the idea is the same: a framework for developing this polycentric city or territory, more multi-services, more multipurpose functions, and more livable neighborhood with a strong reduction of our CO2.
You mentioned various cities there, and some of those are heading towards or already mega cities. Given that by 2050, 70% of the world's population will be living in urban areas, and we're going to have 14 more cities across the globe that are forecast to become megacities, largely through urban spread rather than all new cities sprouting up in the desert. Is it possible for us to design 15-minute cities in those areas, or is it already too late?
We have today, almost 3 years ago, the adoption by the big international organization of cities, and to work very, very close with the different mayor of the different cities, big metropolis, regions, metropolises, middle cities, small towns, including ruralities. We have today a very, very nice experience for examining the different way for implementing this concept in this different typologies. For example, in France, in the south of France, we have a very, very small city, a rurality, Saint-Hilaire-de-Bredemas, 4,000 inhabitants. The mayor of this small town, this rurality, has adopted this concept. And we could visit today. We have a lot of journalists around the world that have decided to come, to visit, for observing the concrete implementation. This is one of the different. In France, we have a lot of different sizes of cities involved for applying the 15-minute city. The middle cities, the city of Nantes in the west, for 100,000 inhabitants. The big capitals, of course, Paris, Milan. But in Europe, for example, in Poland, it is a great, great experience to visit the city of Plesiu. Plesiu is a small city, 15,000 inhabitants, close to Poznan. The mayor of Plesiu has downloaded in 2021 the open source framework of the 15-minute city for studying it with his team. And he has developed this concept concretely in Plesiu. This is so amazing, his implementation. I learned this implementation 2 years after when he has delivered a conference in Warsaw. And the deputy mayor said, Professor Moreno, very happy for listening to your conference. Come to Plesiu, please, because we have developed for 2 years your implementation in our city, in a small city with 15,000 inhabitants. And I have the same history in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America. I think that for the first time in the modern history of the urbanism, we have the same concept, the same framework, with the possibility for being implemented in different typologies, the density and the size, for having the same trajectory, polycentricity, multipurpose functions, more local economic activity, use for public spaces, and to reduce the car dependency and to improve the practice of the urban life in common public spaces.
I joked about cities sprouting up in the desert, but the line or NEOM in Saudi Arabia is a 170-kilometer or 110-mile long linear city designed exactly in that way. What do you think of this? Is this an example of creativity and ingenuity, or is it over-implementation?
Thank you for this question. I know very well NEOM in Arabia, of course, or the line. I want to say unpopular comment. The investment for creating NEOM, several billions of dollars, it's a real added value for installing 3-4 million of inhabitants in this new city. What is in reality the benefit of this operation? It's a real operation for increasing the quality of life of inhabitants, or it is big marketing operation in the middle of the desert. I have a lot of different clues for thinking that the second element, the most important in the line. As regard of the complex situation for the urban life in Arabia, in Middle East, I'm not really sure that the priority for developing more humanity, more equity, more inclusivity, more ecology in Arabia, the response with the line will be the real larger response. I prefer to live in a capital as Riyadh, for example, the biggest city of Arabia, 6 million of inhabitants, for offering the best conditions for the urban life, in particular for women. This is the real priority today, that to invest a lot of billions for one third of one fourth of the inhabitants in Riyadh. I am open for discussing, but this is my point of view.
Okay, thank you. On the subject of controversy then, let's talk about controversy surrounding the 15-minute city concept. Proponents would say it's a concept that was designed to be positive, liberating even, with livable neighborhoods, as you've mentioned. And it's seen by others, though, as restrictive and even punitive. That's led to protests, concerns about travel restrictions and limitations on freedom, fears of restrictions of movement, urban incarceration. We've heard terms waved around such as Big Brother surveillance, Hunger Games, and a future of government travel permits. We even had one British Member of Parliament call it an international socialist concept. So I see you smiling there. Over to you to tackle some of these topics.
I want to discuss of the serious elements and not about insanities. I want to discuss with the scientific for examining the condition of obtaining a real social mixity. But the demonstrations in Oxford, for example, in February or March, is not serious. It's insane, the different elements when the far right, even in the parliament, evoke that I am the new Pol Pot, the new Stalin, the new Hitler, that my idea is to create the open jails. No, this is the same global dark movement of conspiracy mongers, climate denialists, climate skeptical. The same for saying that the COVID-19, the vaccine is a manipulation for controlling people with the chips, 5G, with the vaccine. No, I refuse to discuss with the insane insane elements.
But why do you think it has been so controversial? I mean,
this is not a controversial.
Right. Okay. But if I put to you instead that perhaps the concept has been misunderstood and it's become a synonym for climate change initiatives in disguise, or it's come the synonym for the war on motorists. Has the 15-minute city concept been misunderstood? Have the opponents missed the point?
Yeah, in reality, for this segment of the conspiracy mongers, this is not. I mean, this is not a misunderstanding. This is their political way for generating in permanence a very dark storytelling. They need in permanence to build this storytelling, the climate denialist, the climate lockdown, and etc. The reality is that in UK, for the municipal elections, this kind of movements in reality have reached less than 2% in the result of elections. There was totally invisible in the democratic actions. I have suffered with my family a lot of different death threats, etc. This is the same people that when we had the chemical accident in the USA, they said it's a chemical accident controlled for constricting people for living in a reduced area. This is the same people that say in Hawaii with the different catastrophe, the wildfire. This is the manipulations for creating the smart cities. No, this is not really a serious element. This is not a misunderstanding. This is a real ideological extremist way for continuing to deny the climate change. And you're right when you said the question of the role of the cars in cities. You're right, because, in fact, one of the common points of the different conspiracy mongers is to consider that the presence of a car is equal to have an individual right. I think that the turning point is the question on my car dependency or not my car dependency. In UK, we have this trend to consider that the LTN or the ULEZ are the same thing, low traffic neighborhood and ultralight low emissions zone. And I received a lot of threats for saying we will destroy the old cameras for controlling the LTN or control the ULEZ. And you are guilty for implementing a lot of cameras for reducing the presence of individual cars in the traffic of the cities. In fact, of course, I support the LTN, I support the ULEZ, but the 15-minute city is not equal to LTN, it's not equal to ULEZ. The 15-minute city is totally different. The 15-minute city is our capability for generating a lot of different services in all city, in shorter distances, for reducing our CO2 footprint, for accessing to more local employment, local cultural activities, local education, local services, and to use the public spaces for human and not for cars. The 15-minute city, it is not to reduce people for living in a constrained area. The opposite. The 50-minute city is to develop a polycentric city in all city. This capability for regenerating lot of different services. The 50-minute city is not a circulation plan. The 50-minute city is not a traffic plan. The 50-minute city, this is not a, is a different lifestyle. We could visit Paris today. We have lot of new centralities, lot of new polarities. We have created a different district. We have the district with the intensive mixed city, the functionalities, instead of to have the buildings dedicated for only offices, and to have an area for the residential activities. Without services, we have developed an ambitious policy for mixing, for reducing the single functions and to increase this mixity, this multipurpose system. At the same time, we have developed a lot of different measures for generating as well the social mixity, the social housing in the wealth district, the workplaces in the poor districts, for generating more medical services in all cities, for offering the schools with the peaceful streets, for opening the schools during the weekend, for creating more cinemas, more theaters, for generating more greening areas, for offering the public spaces for being shaded between the protected bike lines and cars. But this is totally open. And today, we could visit in Paris a lot of different cities. Nobody has a chip for contracting to rest in a small area. This is just an insanity.
Yeah, and I think that's why presentation and implementation matter so much, and the wording that's used. That's why I referred to 15-minute city becoming a synonym for other things that may be unpopular. We've just got a few minutes left. I just want to get a sense from you of how your approach to the 15-minute city has changed in the years since you first came up with the concept.
We have today an ambitious roadmap, even that the 15-minute city, the 30-minute territory, in reality, both concepts have become a very popular concept worldwide. We have created the Global Observatory of Sustainable Proximities with UN Habitat, C40 Cities, United Cities and Local Governments, UCLG, and my team at Sorbonne University. The Global Observatory of Sustainable Proximities, the different mayors around the world are committed for developing this happy proximity. The most important point is not 15. The most important point is not 13, 15-minute territory, 13-minute territory. This is not a real question. We could have 10, 12, 18, or 25, or 35. The real strategic point is to generate a happy proximity based in a polycentric city, polycentric territory, for having more local employment, local activities, short circuit, raw materials, public spaces for all, schools, medical services, in all city. The Global Observatory of Proximities is a place, digital and physical, for gathering the global community of mayors committed for that. The second point, we have launched a lot of initiatives around the world for exchanging the different experiences and implementations. We have today more than 300 cities committed in this way. We have created the 15-minute city explorer. This is a totally open website for going and to concretely to examine the different initiatives. And the fourth point, we have created this concept the high quality societal life for generating new indicators. Indicators based on the social mixity and the functional mixity for living, for working, for supplying, for caring, for educating, and for enjoying. I want to invite you to take part in the activities of the Global Observatory of Sustainable Proximity. This is accessible, totally free. And this is the reality. And this is not the dark attacks. This is the lot of people around the world are totally committed for offering a new paradigm to our cities, when our cities are today the most significant contributor of CO2 emissions, and when our humanity is in phase with not a global warming, but a real global emergency in face with climate change.
Let's wrap up just by asking you to say, what recommendations do you have for any town or city looking to adopt 15-minute city ideas?
I want to suggest to the different mayors around the world a very simple exercise: to take your city, to take six elements, where people live, where people work, where people have an access to the medical services, where the people have an access for the daily shopping, and what are the conditions for enjoying and to access to education and culture. We could define a color for each one of these functions. We could examine our territory and to identify with the color. At the end of this exercise, we will have a city with the colors totally separated. This is the segmentation. This is Le Corbusier, the Athenshert, seven decades of zonifications. The challenge is to mix the colors for regenerating in the different areas the presence of the old colors: to live, to work, to supply, to care, to educate, to enjoy. It's very complicated for imagining with a magic wand, because the 15 minutes is not a magic wand. However, this is a journey. This is a trajectory. When we have started to mix three of the six colors, your concrete city and territory are starting to change. My concept is the inverse of the Rubik cube. The Rubik cube is the cube with the color, and the target is to separate the six faces of the color. The 15-minute city is the inverse. We have six separated colors with the different social functions, and we need to mix the different color in each one of the faces. The faces is the city, and the colors are all city. If I have the possibility to increase the mix of colors, we will change radically our lifestyle. The nickname of the 15-minute city is the rainbow of the high-quality societal life, because we will have a polycentric city with the mix of the colors, we have the mix of the social functions, and we have the mix of the social categories. This is the challenge. I want to suggest you to start this journey.
Professor Carlos Moreno, thank you very much for being on Ride, the Urban Mobility Podcast.
Ride, the Urban Mobility Podcast, is brought to you by Covetic and Pay by Phone. Learn more about Ride podcast partners at www.covetic.com and www.paybyphone.co.uk. This episode of Ride was recorded and produced by Martin Strong, with marketing support from Natalie Webster. You can subscribe to Ride wherever you get your podcasts, and feel free to share it, like it, and give it a rating. Sign up to the Ride LinkedIn page and check out our website for episode notes and links, and the Ride podcast blog at at www.ridemobilitypodcast.com.